A lot of preachers don't like silence. I'm not one of those people. I want you to know that this is a good day to serve the Lord. Every day is a good day to serve the Lord. To consider that even a bad day in Jesus' day, His mind, His purpose, and His goal was to be about His Father's business. To consider that He knew why He was sent. He knew that it was a good day to serve God. I'm here to do what God wants me to do. And it was to an end. And it was to fulfill God's goal to restore us back to reunification with the God that created us. What a mission. What a mission that was. I'm flabbergasted when I sit down and just meditate on that. Just on that. And our God at one time had this great relationship with man, and He loved us so much that He built earth, this big mud ball, and put stuff in it so that we would enjoy, and then we screwed it up. But then He made provision so that we could go back. Isn't that amazing? Just amazing. Meditate on that sometime. Just, you know, when you're out there in your car, in your truck, and you have nothing else to think about. Or when your mind goes to places that you shouldn't be going anyway. Think about where God was and what God did and where He's taking you. It's just an amazing thing. This prophetic word that it was a prophetic word that Jimmy gave. I don't remember the exact date that he gave it. I believe it was in January. But I want us to read it together. I'll read it, but I want you to follow along. But it was significant. It was significant to me, and it is still significant in 2020. This was way before we even knew what was coming down the pike. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Back up 2:1-4. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at that end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Amen. Everybody say amen to that.
Amen.
We shall live by our faith. Okay? There's an urgency and profound conviction by God to do the work that is at hand for the church in Crane and the kingdom of God. There is a weight of responsibility and a mandate from scripture of it. God has gifted and anointed us to bring the good news to the saved and unsaved alike. We are being equipped and called upon in a new important ways, along with an evangelistic impetus to seek and to save the lost. We are to show love and concern to people who are flawed, some severely and far from Christ, in order to keep the door of utterance open. The urgency in this work is real, and we are to meet the needs by taking all callers, all seekers, in order to have opportunity to share the good news to both believers and unbelievers by the leading of His Holy Spirit. Where we see people in the natural as a mess of mistakes and immaturity, we need to see them through the eyes of Christ as one who might be open to new revelations of the kingdom. The second part of the Great Commission was to teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. While the first part doesn't involve as much gifting as it does required anointing, this next part involves much more gifting. Older women teach the younger women. Discipleship, bringing people to maturity in Christ. Learning, teaching about a personal relationship with Jesus. Learning, teaching about a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. We have a mandate upon us to do the work of God. I believe that God, this is what we should be doing. This is what I believe God has told us to do. I believe this is a mandate that God has wanted for us as a body of Christ to take a hold of. And it is something that we as a body, we need to pray over that. We need to see, where do I fit in this place, in this prophetic word, to fulfill your word? Where am I to do this? And I believe God will be faithful to show you. And because the lack of that is unfulfillment. And I don't think God wants us to be unfulfilled. I think that's the issue. I think the issue is, if you're feeling unfulfilled, it's because you're not in that niche that God has said. If you just get where I want you to be, I'll let you run with it. A lot of you received a text, a word of the Lord that came, and it was, can you carry a basket? And this was the word of the Lord. Can you carry a basket? And when I saw that, when I heard that, can you carry a basket? It just came to me. I went and read the feeding of the 5,000 men, not including the men and the women. And it was this. It was like, all I'm asking you to do is carry a basket. That's all. I'm not asking you to fill it with bread. I'm not asking you to fill it with fishes. All I'm asking you is to carry a basket. That's all I'm asking. Can you carry a basket? It probably wasn't even full. It just had just a few fish, a few pieces of bread, and says, can you carry that? Now, if you looked at the empty basket, well, sure, God, but we're humans. You know what? We're humans. And you look at the empty basket and you look at the 5,000 people and you're going, but God, I can't. You're right, you can't.
Amen.
You can't. Amen. You can't do anything with an empty basket and 5,000 people. All He's asking you to do is carry a basket. There's a lot of thirsty people out there and you're going, but I don't have any water. You're right, you don't have any water, but Jesus does. He's saying, can you carry a basket? Little strong boy here. Can you carry a basket? Is that too heavy for you? Let's try her. Can you carry a basket? Can you carry a basket? Look at that. If they can, surely we can. That's all He's asking. Carry a basket. And I will show you that I can fill it and take it to the masses. Wow. It blew me away. It really did. Because what do? I project to the 5,000. God, there's no way I can go out there to 5,000 people and tell them all about the gospel. There's just no way. So I'm going to sit here and do nothing. That's what I do. But I'm sure y'all don't. I'm paralyzed by my own insecurity. I'm paralyzed by my own faults and doubts. I'm paralyzed by my own soulish emotions. I'm paralyzed. And He's going, why are you such an introvert when you should be focused on not your ability, but my ability? I have the power, not you. In your weakness, my power is manifest. In who you think you are, it is not by your power that any man should boast. It is by my power. So that what? That God may be glorified. That God may get the credit. Amen? Amen. So, I start off with that because I'm telling you, this 2020 vision should stir us. That's what prophecy is about. Prophecy is about stirring our hearts unto good works, unto the things that God wants us to do. Oh, you know, we have several people who are bosses. And so you have people that are under you that when you go into a place and say, I want you to, it's not a choice. I want you to stock shelves. Yeah, I'll get to it. What? What? What did you say? When I feel like it. What? That wasn't, this is not multiple choice. This is a mandate. This is a word spoken from the boss. So, after last week, I talked to you about, look, lay the sheep down. That's what last week was all about. Is this the end of the age? Is God coming back? And You know, there have been numerous times during the history of time that people said, Jesus is coming back. So we're going to sell everything we got and we're going to sit here. Boom, he's coming back. He's coming back on September 29th. September 29th comes. Did you see him? He didn't come back. Oh, okay. Let's recalculate. October 3rd. Well, we sold a lot of books for September 29th, and we're selling a lot of books for October 3rd. Let's go to October 15th. Maybe we'll sell some more books for October 15th. We'll stack some more bills on that one. And I'm not talking about bills that you pay. I'm talking about bills that get paid, you know. Yeah, we're gonna get paid that day. Let me tell you, anytime somebody says, this is when Jesus is coming back, you can guarantee yourself that's not going to be the day. Because he says no one is going to know. And he says everybody's going to be about doing their business. Everyone's going to be about marrying and doing what they do. And then I will come as a thief in the night. Because a thief doesn't announce himself, at least not the smart ones. So, when Jesus comes back, we're all going to be surprised. And just this, what? Everyone. And this is just a side note. This is just something for free. It says everybody's going to see him at the same time. That's what the Bible says. Now, I want to know this, and I probably won't be here to see it, but if I'm in Crane and he comes on the side of China, will I see him at the same time as the Chinese people? It's just a logistical problem. Will I see him? Tom, will I see him? Tom says yes, then I believe it. Well, if I'm waiting for Jesus to come back, and he says we should, in the meantime, what? In the meantime, what? What should I be doing? Twiddling my thumbs? No. He says we need to be about the kingdom of God. We should be about our Father's business. We should be busy, very busy. Jude chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Jude. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be about contending for the faith, the true faith of Jesus Christ and who He is, and be true to who He is and who He says He is. By definition of what? By definition of the Word of God. That's why we got to know this. We can't be swayed by, oh, well, you know, it says, but it really didn't mean. No, it really means that. It really does mean what it says. Well, you know, that's an old way of thinking. No.
This is what it says, and this is what it means. And so, understand there will always be people who try to take the Word of God and try to twist it unto their own way of thinking. And to be able to what? Get away with stuff. I'm telling you, I don't understand that way of thinking. I really don't. Because I think if you don't want to follow the Word, why twist it to what you want it to say? Just leave. Just go do what you want to do. You're going to do that anyway. Just go do that. There was an elder in, what was that town in Oklahoma? McAllister. He's in McAllister, Oklahoma. And he was an elder, and he began to have an affair with someone in the congregation. And when he did, he said, well, it's okay because. I'm going, no, it's not. You can't do that. It's not allowed. Well, yes, it is, because he had twisted the Word of God so that what? He could have his own way. His own lust, his own way of thinking. And you can't do that. It's not allowed. Now, I said something last week that said the Word of God for Christians has more authority than the Constitution. Okay? Now understand that this book rules my life. And if you tell me that you're a Christian, then I believe that this book rules your life. So if we are to meet, if Joseph comes into my office and he says, because I believe he has made it pure and plain and he's made it simple, I am a Christian. And he lives by a certain standard. And so in our conversation, he basically says something that doesn't fit this book. And I tell him, that's not allowed. And Joseph looks at me and he says, I'm free, I'm white, I'm over 21. I said, well, you may be free and you may be white and you may never go to jail for what you just said and do. But that's not allowed in the kingdom of God. Understand that. You're not allowed to live as you want in the kingdom of God according because you said you have given your life to another. When you said you were a citizen of the kingdom of God, you don't get to choose the rules and the regulations based upon your wants and whatever you'd like. It's not allowed. And I'll tell you what, messes with people's minds. It really does. It's not allowed. And those who are young in God, this happens with young people who are really learning the ins and the outs of a household. When you are teaching your children, and you looked at your children and you said, that's not allowed in here. Well, Jimmy down the street does it. Jimmy don't live here. Right? Jimmy don't live here. And you get spanked for living in this house and doing that. Oh, man, we got that all the time. We went to Ralph's house, and at their house, they got to, so what? That doesn't fly here. Don't try to bring that mess over here. That don't work. Why doesn't it work? Because we live by a different standard. Meanwhile, while we're waiting on Jesus to come back, we are to do what? Work on this. Work on the household of God. On the ins and outs of God. Isaiah 59:14 through 16. And this is in light of what's been happening in Wisconsin. Eric came to Tuesday night prayer, and he told us about what was happening, that just a block away from his uncle's church was where they were having the riots. To be that close to anarchy and to lawlessness, and he said, some of the news reports that they were saying, he said, that car dealership he had been to, you know, and that unnerves me. I think, oh my gosh, to be right there where these people are just doing bad things. Isaiah 59:14-16. Justice is turned away backward, and righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God stands far off. For truth has fallen in the street, and the city's form, and uprightness cannot enter the courts of justice. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Do you see that? Yes, truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor, no one to intervene on behalf of truth and right. Therefore, his own arm brought him victory, and his own righteousness, having the Spirit without measure, sustained him. During this time, there was the same thing going on. Same thing. There was no justice. There was looting in the streets. And he says, truth has fallen in the street. And all of this chaos that was happening. Disregard for what was right. Disregard for anything that was justice. And there was no intercessor. No intercessor. There was no one to stand in the gap. No one to raise a peep. No one to raise a wing. If someone were to come and to grab your children away from you, what would you spare to tell them, leave my children alone? You would spare nothing. You would go at them with full force and say, you are about to die because you would sacrifice yourself for the safety of your children. We, as a people, need to understand we
have a responsibility to go to a spiritual warfare. Our fight is not carnal, but it is a spiritual one. We need to be fasting. We need to be praying. We need to make sure that our holiness is one that God is able to look at our holiness and spare us. When Sodom and Gomorrah was at its worst, He says, is there someone there that I could spare these cities for? He says, is there 10? Is there 5? Is there 1? Can we say that? I say, yes, Lord, here we are. Here we are, God. Let us be that. Let us be the holy ones of God. Let us move in that circle. Because we need to get ourselves right. Psalm 24, 3 and 4. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That's the person. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. How I have failed. I'll be the one to confess. How many times have I not have a clean heart, or how I have not had clean hands? I confess to you, truly, this isn't just rhetoric. This is reality. We can't afford. I don't believe I can afford to come and just say, to put on a facade. I've not had the best. But I'm telling you, I have to rely on the blood of Jesus to get me there. Why am I humble? Because I know what it cost Him to get me to where I need to be. I have to have Jesus. I have to have Him. Because He said, the work that I started, I will complete. Because He started something in me, I've got to believe He's going to finish it. I believe that in you. I believe that in all of us. I believe. But it does take what? Desire. Takes our desire to get there. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Wow! Who of us can do that? Who of us can say, what I want you to do, God, is I want you to take every one of my thoughts and plaster it up on that screen. Jeanette, all your thoughts plastered up on that screen. Let's take a look. Well, that happened. That happened. And then that happened. And now, I didn't act on that one. I wanted to, but I didn't. All of us would be laid bare. All of us would have these thoughts. But what? You're asking God to do something. To say, I'm naked here before you.
Search me, O God. Know my thoughts. Know my actions. Know everything. Where I am truly, truly, there's nothing to be hidden. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me that way. Lead me into that path. I have to believe that God is leading us. Do you know why I think, and I believe this with all my heart, I think with all my heart, that the reason we don't demand big crowds is because of that very thing. We believe that God asks too much, and we don't shy back from it. We don't shy back from saying, go to the cross. Go to the cross. Lay yourself out before Him. I don't want to do that. Take up your cross and follow me. I just want to go to church and go home. That's all I really want to do. I don't want too much. You're asking too much. I had somebody tell me one time, you make it too hard. Really? I do? Me? You got to read your Bible. I'm really not the one. It's not me. He goes, I just think it's a lot easier than that. It is simple, but it is hard. It is simple to repent, to say no, but it is hard. Okay. Huh, Tyler. Shake your head yes. Tell me yes. Encourage me, Tyler. Say amen every once in a while. Okay, there you go. We should have and maintain peace. After saying all that I just said, God says He promises us a life of peace. Arthur, how can you say that? You're talking about plastering our thoughts and our lives on a screen and asking God to evaluate it, and I should have a life of peace? Rick? Does that bring peace to your heart? Does that say, woo! I should be walking in peace. But the Word says we should maintain peace. Isn't that right? I mean, isn't that the thing of God? Isn't that what He says? Well, let me read you the Scripture. Philippians 4. 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he has to repeat himself. And again, I say rejoice. Woo! Yeah.
Like we believed it.
Yeah, we say it. Yay! Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. You see, that's the place of peace. Rick is going, okay, we're getting ready here. The film is starting to roll. Every thought's about to be plastered up there. Here's the place of peace. You might be naked,
But you're praying at the same time. God, there is no shame that you didn't take for me. Right? Right. You see that be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. But we want to take it on ourselves. We want to take that yoke that is too heavy to carry. He says, let your yoke be easy and your burden light, because mine yoke is easy. My burden is light. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Sharon prayed that this morning for a dear friend of hers who just lost her husband. We reserve that kind of peace for people who are going through horrific situations, who just lost her husband, and we're going, there's just no way she could have peace when she's lost her husband. So God, you've got to intervene right now. You've got to do something, because I can't imagine being in her situation. I can't. It's just a horrific situation. So, Father, let the peace of God that surpasses understanding guard her heart and mind in Christ Jesus. We pray that. But don't you need it too? Don't you need that same type of peace every day that you wring your hands about stuff that sometimes really is inconsequential? I think sometimes, yeah, you do. Because it says, let every request be known to God. This was back in Fort Gibson days. I told this people in our church, I said, we were talking about buying a car. And I said, you should pray about that. They said, we don't pray about buying a car. You don't? I said, no. God doesn't care whether I buy a car or not. I said, your car is probably the second biggest purchase that you're going to have in your household. And you don't pray about that? No, he don't care. Yes, he does. Let me tell you, he cares about the groceries that you buy on a weekly basis. He cares that much. He cares about the little things in your life. He cares. You're telling me you don't pray about that? No. I didn't ever convince them, but just because they didn't see me as someone of authority, hopefully, eventually, they saw Jesus as someone of authority. But do you understand that peace will only come when we have a connection with God who is able to bring peace to your life? I can't bring peace to your life. I can show you who the peacemaker is. I can show you that God is able, but I can't do it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He says, get your mind right. Get your mind right. Be thinking about the things of God, not the things of the world. Do you struggle with that? You don't have to shake your head. You don't have to acknowledge. You don't have to raise your hand. Do you naturally go to the negative part of your brain? Well, I think things are going to go south. Things are going to be bad. He tells us here, think on the things of God. We should have an attitude of gratitude. Psalm 100. We're going to read all of 100. We're going to read the whole chapter. It's just 5 verses. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. We should always have an attitude of gratitude. This is a word of the Lord that came to this place, and it is a tool. It is a tool that I use. Worship will change the atmosphere. If there's something going on in your life that you're just going, I can't get out of this funk that I'm in, put on praise music. Get your favorite worship song and start worshiping. And I'm telling you, you will be lifted out of it. Worship the Lord your God. Will your circumstance change? Maybe not. It might, but maybe not. But you'll be lifted out of it. Worship the Lord your God. Number 5, yield yourself to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 8. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourself unto the Lord, and enter into His sanctuary, which He hath sanctified forever. And serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of His wrath may turn away from you. Oh man. We can't believe that our forefathers were the example of which we should follow. We have to be current with God. We have to go on with God and who He is. The greatest day of the church is yet to come. I believe that with all my heart. The greatest day of the church is yet to come. If Jesus is coming back for the pure and the blameless bride of Christ, consider that. The blameless bride of Christ, which we are to be, we're either, because I believe in miracles, we're either going to be that blameless bride of Christ, which I think we've got a long way to go, but miracles could happen.
It could happen. It could happen in a way that I don't see. Let's say it happens. Or he's saying, you are part of my tool to make it happen. So I should be busy about getting done what he wants me to get done for him to come for the blameless, spotless bride of Christ. Right? That's our job. That's all of us. That's just not Jimmy's job. Because Jimmy could do it. And I could do that. We could all do that. It's just not our job. All of our job. That's why we pray for every congregation here in town. It's their job too. It's their job too. It's their job. We have people that are not a part of this congregation, but they are part of the kingdom of God. And they need to be about their Father's business. Second Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. And then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Angela prayed that this morning. Now is the day of salvation. I caught it. I caught it when she prayed it. I was going, You're right. Now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but now. I want you to take this. I called somebody last week. I called them into my office. You remember? Earlier in the week, I called this person. I kind of knew them, and they knew of me, but they didn't really know me. But I called them and I said, "Can I meet with you?" And they said, "Well, sure." And I said, "Do you mind?" I said, "I'll come to your house. I'll be at your office." I said, "Okay, that's great." And so they came to my office, and I said, "I have a question for you. If you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven?" And they said, "Well, I think so." And then I asked them the second question. If you were to go to heaven, why? Would they let you into heaven? "Well, I'm a good person. And I say all the right things. And I have a lot of compassion." Ooh. Well, then I had to explain why that doesn't work. No one deserves to go to heaven. It's only by the blood of Christ that you get to go to heaven. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Are you willing to do that? Well, yes, I am willing to do that. I say all that to tell you this. People are hungry for the gospel. People don't know how to get to heaven. We have watered down the gospel so much that they think they're going to heaven without Jesus. They think they're getting there because they're good. They think they're getting there
Because they gave somebody a dollar. They think they're getting there because they forgave somebody a horrific thing. Let me tell you, be bold. And this is what I told her. I said, I want to tell you how I pray. I pray for the congregation. I pray for people that I love. I pray for people of Crane. I said, I don't just pray for God bless Crane. I don't pray in generalities. I pray for people of Crane. And I ask God, give me people of Crane. Give me names. I want names, God. Specific names. And guess what? When we spun the wheel this morning, your name came up. So that's why I called you. And I asked Sharon, Sharon, do you have her number? And she says, why? Because I'm going to share the gospel. Well, okay. I'm imploring you. Pray the same way. Pray for Crane. Not in generalities. Pray specifically. Ask for a name. And then obey. If God gives you a name, ask for it. And then pray for the name that God give you a name to call. And lastly, watch and pray. This is so significant. This is so important. 1 Peter 4, 6 and 7. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Let us be a people who pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Watch and pray. Be a people of prayer. Let us pray. Let us humble ourselves before the Lord God. Pray for our nation. Pray for our president. It is a crucial time. It is something that I believe God has put in our hands to seek Him. And so we need to be about our Father's business.
Amen. Very good. Very good word, Arthur. You know, you touched on something dealing with what I have on the marquee and I've had for a couple of weeks. It says, consider it pure joy. That's all I put, right? It's like, consider what? Everything. Yeah, but it'll cause you to think, what should I be considering joy? Everything. But especially the trials. And so I'm going to leave that up there for a little while. Cause people to think about it, you know, and remember to consider it pure joy. And I'll tell you, he was talking about watering down the gospel and how we make it hard, you know, except it's not us, it's God that has requirements, has a standard. And so I just want to read this quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote The Cost of Discipleship. If you don't know who he is, look him up. Cheap grace is the grace we bestow on ourselves. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. Cheap grace. Not what I want. Not cheap grace. He paid a great cost. So, good time today. I appreciate everyone being here, assembling. I saw Donna online. So if you're still on, Donna, good morning and glad you joined us.
We love you, Donna.
Yeah. If you didn't hear her, Angela said, good, we love you, Donna. So. anything else before we go? All right. Y'all have a great week.